We're doing the laws of foods that are forbidden. Chapter 46 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Mem Vav. Halacha Hey, the fifth paragraph. Basar v'chalav, meat with milk, asur b'achila, is forbidden to be eaten. You can't take a slice of cheese and place it on a cold hamburger and eat them together. Uviv bishul, and you're forbidden to cook them together. You can't make broth, cholent with meat and milk. Uvana, and from deriving benefit. So if your next door neighbor walks in and says, I just stopped by at Burger King and I can't eat the last burger I bought here, have it. So you can't take it and then tell your mailman, hey buddy, you're doing such a great job, here, have a hamburger. Because you're deriving benefit from that hamburger. The hamburger is made from meat, non-kosher meat, cooked together with cheese. And you're going to derive benefit from that. The mailman will feel like you like him more. You gave him a gift. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to derive any pleasure, any benefit from meat and milk. And therefore, if something became forbidden because there was a mixture of meat and milk, one has to ask a rabbi what he should do with that broth. Because sometimes we say that the mixture became forbidden even to derive benefit from. And sometimes it is not forbidden, depending on the circumstance, how much milk there was, how much meat there was. Depending on the circumstance, we'll decide whether it becomes forbidden to derive benefit from. Vav. Shnei Yisraelim makirim zeh et zeh. Two Jews who know one another. Afilu makpidim zeh al zeh. Even if they're careful from one another. My lunch is my lunch. Your lunch is your lunch. Nonetheless, we say, "Asur lehem le'achol b'shulchan echad ze basar v'ze ma'achal chalav." They are forbidden to eat on the same table meat and milk. Because I'm going to say, just saying, can I dip my sandwich into your cream cheese? And then I'll eat my meat sandwich with your cream cheese. So we say that two Jews, even if ordinarily we don't eat one another's food, I say, hey, don't you touch my hamburger. And you say, don't you touch my cream cheese. Nonetheless, we say, we cannot eat on the same table if I'm going to eat meat and you're going to eat milk. Unless they put something that'll be a sign to differentiate between the two of them. For example, if each one eats on their own tablecloth, that's why we have those placemats. What are those placemats? We say, you eat milk, eat on a meat placemat, and I'll eat on the table. Or if the tablecloth is meat, is fleishiks, so you say, I can eat on the tablecloth, and you'll get a placemat for your milk products. What's the idea? The idea is, that's to discern between my food and your food. It's clear I'm eating on my own placemat, I'm eating on my own tablecloth, my milchik food. So that's one of the ways that we can make a sign, and then eat on the same table, even though I'm eating meat and you're eating milk. For example, if each one eats on their own tablecloth, or if we place on the table between the different foods, is a davar she'endo kol yotsham, something that's not ordinarily there. Meaning if we're going to eat together, I'm eating my meat, you're eating your milk, so we want to eat on the same table. So we say, okay, let's put, we'll take a hammer, we'll put it here in between us, and that's a sign. We don't ordinarily put a hammer on the table. That's a sign between you and me that we're not eating. We could also, let's say, take out a pitcher, an empty pitcher that we're not going to use with any drinks, and put that on the table. Because right now you don't put an empty pitcher on the table. The reason we put it there is to discern, so to speak, to make a mechitza between me and you, so that we recognize that I'm eating one thing, you're eating a different thing. But it could not be a pitcher that we're going to drink from. Meaning if it's a pitcher of water that's on the table, that's not a good sign. Yeah.
Last week I was in Old City. Friend bought shawarma and I bought pizza. Pizza was halavi.
Yeah.
So I kept it in my hand. We were sitting on the same table, but we didn't eat from the table. Is that?
I think that would be okay, but I'd have to look inside. Yeah, makes sense to me that should be okay. You don't even have to put a hammer. You can take a plastic bag. It doesn't have to be something so big.
Yeah.
You could put something that stays there. But I have to check. That's a very, very good question. If you didn't put it on the table, so then you're not eating on the same table. I think. That's what I think. I'd have to look inside to make sure I'm not missing something. But And when we eat on the same table, I'm eating meat, you're eating milk, we have to be careful not to use the same pitcher to drink from. Because food gets stuck to the vessel. Your hands are all filled with oil from your shawarma sandwich. His hands are all filled with oil from the pizza. You're going to end up touching the same handle of the pitcher. The oils go. Your oil gets on the handle. His oil gets on the handle. So you're not supposed to use the same pitcher, and people don't know this. Very often you see people, they put a placemat, but they don't know that each one has to have their own pitcher to drink from. But this is Allah and Shulchan Aruch. Certainly they have to be careful not to use the same loaf of bread. I'm going to take a slice of bread for my meat. You're going to take a slice of bread for your milk. That doesn't work. So too the custom is to have separate salt shakers. One for meat and one for milk. Because sometimes people end up dipping their food in the salt, in the salt dish. And you have some leftovers in the meat. So the original custom to have different salt shakers was when they didn't have salt shakers, but rather they had little cups with salt. And then if you dip in the salt, you have a problem. Today, people say, and I see it myself, that what happens is you pour salt into a dish, so then the steam that comes up from the dish goes into the salt shaker. That's why the salt shakers get stuck very often. So if you have a cheese broth cooking and you're pouring salt into it, you have steam going into that salt shaker. And if you have a meat broth, you have steam going into that salt shaker. So that's what people say, that's what I've heard, that's why today we're still careful with that. The custom is to make a sign on the knife that's special for milk foods. And so too all the vessels that are for milk. So you won't come to mix them up. So you make a sign. Some houses make a slit on all their meat or all their milk knives. Slit in the handle. In some houses, they just buy different color handles. You could get today, you have everything. I remember when I was a kid, all the handles were wood handles. You didn't have all these white plastic, blue plastic. Didn't exist. So today, it's easy. You could have different color handles. That's an easy sign. If you don't have that, or if on the pots you don't have that, so you could get the tape, the electric tape. You could get red electric tape and blue electric tape, and that's how you can make a sign on the handles of the pots and the pans and the knives. But you should, before you start using them for meat and milk, make a sign so you don't get mixed up, because then you run into problems.
Don't use it for electricity.
Okay. Ted, yeah.
When you wash your, say you have a dishwasher, yeah? Is it okay to wash both types of knives, both types of silverware in the same dishwasher?
I don't know.
Probably just best to wash them separately.
You have to find out. I don't know. I don't know the heat of the water in the dishwasher, the detergent. Do you need different racks? You have to ask someone who knows. I don't know. Achal basar. I know that there are some people who say you have to have separate racks. Now, some people say you could only use it for meat or milk, or have two separate dishwashers. But I don't know halachically today the materials that the racks are made of, the heat that the water goes in. I don't know all of this. So I don't know. And if we say that the detergent makes it that everything has a bad flavor, so you don't have a problem, I don't know. You have to speak to someone who's up to date what deals with dishwashers today. Halachatet. You guys want to continue? If we continue, we have to continue another like 7 minutes.
Or go.
Or stop here. Yeah. Oh, continue. Okay. Halachatet. Achal basar. Let's say a person had meat. Or afilu rak tavshil she basar. Or if a person just had some kind of broth that has meat in it. He had a fleishik soup. Fleish, by the way, means meat. So fleishik means meat-oriented in Yiddish. So after a person ate meat, or a broth that had meat cooked in it, or a soup that had meat cooked in it, lo yochal ma'achalei chalav, a person should not eat milk items, ad sheyishesh shesho, till he waits 6 hours. Now this depends on your custom. Person has comes from a city that the custom is to wait 1 hour, he could wait 1 hour, 3 hours, he could wait 3 hours, five 5+ hours. He could wait 5+ hours. Not everyone that has the custom to wait 6 has the custom to wait 6 whole hours. Some people say you just have to wait beyond the 5th hour. So all this, each person will find out his custom, and the person who does tshuva should ask his rav whether he should go with the more stringent custom, the more lenient custom, to each his own. The aloes letinok, and the custom used to be that they didn't have ready ground meat for children. So the way they'd feed children is the mother would chew on it, and then she'd give it to the child to eat. That's how they'd grind up the food. So if someone is chewing on meat to give it to the child, and he's not going to swallow that meat, he's not eating it, he's just chewing it, tzarech gam ken lamtin. That person also has to wait the 6 hours. Afal pi sheshachet shiyul. Even though a person waited 6 hours, im atzav asar ben hashinayim, if he knows, he's finding that he has meat between his teeth, tzarech lasiro, he has to remove the meat from between his teeth. You can't eat milk just because you waited 6 hours when your teeth are filled with meat. But after you remove the meat, you do not have to wait a new 6 hours. He should just clean out his mouth. He should wash out his mouth, being that he already waited the 6 hours, even though at the end of the 6 hours is when he removed the meat from between his teeth, then it's enough to just clean out his mouth. He could eat a little bit of bread, and with that he'll clean out his mouth. And furthermore, after he eats some bread, some neutral food, he washes out his mouth with water, or any other drink he could drink or wash out his mouth with. If there was no meat or fats of meat in the broth, but the only thing is, it was cooked in a fleshik dish. You took a meat pot and you cooked, you heated up water for tea, or you cooked your soup in that. Even if the vessel wasn't cleaned out well, one may eat milk after that. That's a question that people ask all the time. No problem. If a person ate cheese, one may eat meat directly following the cheese, provided it's in a different meal. In the same meal, one may not. One just has to check his hands. That he doesn't have any cheese stuck onto his hands. Or he should wash his hands with water. He should also clean out his teeth. And he should clean out his mouth. But if it's a special hard cheese, that they made it in the... They used to make cheeses, if they'd want them extra hard, they'd leave them in the cow's stomach after the cow's dead. And then that's where we get the rennet from that makes the cheese to begin with. But if you leave it in the stomach where there's a lot of rennet, so then it becomes extra hard. So then if it's especially hard, v'shana shishah chodashim, and 6 months old, oshim tulat, or it already has worms in it, im otze lechol chakach machalei vasar, if afterwards he wants to eat meat, so then we say tzir gam ken lamtin sheshot, one must also wait 6 hours. If a person ate cheese and now he wants to eat meat, he has to remove from the table the crumbs of the bread that he ate with the cheese. And it's forbidden to eat cheese on a tablecloth that you ate meat, and so to the opposite. You have to have a separate tablecloth for meat and for cheese. Or today we have for any milk and meat. It's also forbidden to take the knife that you use to cut meat and use it to cut bread that you're going to eat with the cheese. Meaning if you have a meat knife, you're not allowed to use that knife to cut the bread you're going to eat with the cheese. And so to the opposite. If you have the knife that you're going to cut cheese with, you're not supposed to cut bread with that to eat with meat. Even if the knife is clean, you're not allowed to use it to cut bread for the other one. Uvishatat chak, and if a person is stuck, kegon shu baderech, for example, he is traveling, mutar lo lachtoch besakin shebasar shu naki, umkunach heitev etev lecholim gvina v'chen v'ifuch. One is permitted to cut with a meat knife when it's clean and he knows it's been cleaned very, very well. One is allowed to cut the bread in order to eat cheese and vice versa, provided that he knows that it's very, very clean and he's stuck, he has no alternative. If you took a meat knife and you cut with it onions, or other things that are very sharp, and then he took the onion or the garlic or some other sharp item, and after it was cut with a meat knife, he used it for his tchina that he's going to eat with cereal. His tchina that's sitting in his milk bowl. So that tchina is mixed with milk, like we have right here, right? So we say that ordinarily when you cut with a knife, so long as the item is cold, so then if the knife was perfectly clean, no flavor went from the knife to the item that was cut. That's why we say if you're stuck, you could take a meat knife and cut bread and eat that bread with cheese, provided that the knife is clean. But when you cut something sharp, like onion, so then we say even though the knife is cold, the fact that the knife is sharp and you pushed with that knife into a sharp item, so then we say the flavor goes from the knife into the sharp item, into the onion or the garlic or something else that's sharp. And then we say that that onion became fleishik. Now if you stuck that onion into a milk item, you cook it with milk or something, so then you have to ask a rabbi. And the same thing is vice versa. If you take a milk knife, a knife that's ordinarily, you use it to cut your hot cheeses or to slice through your pizza when it's boiling hot. So you have a milk knife, a milchik knife, and now you use it, it's clean, but you use it to cut an onion. So we say, that onion you shouldn't put in your chul. And if you do, you have to call up a rabbi and ask him what you can do with that chul, whether it's forbidden or not, how much of the flavor do we say goes into the onion, etc. That's why you'll see that's one of the main reasons why every home has parv knives. To cut the onions and the garlic, to cut the sharp items with. And women already elaborate, and they use it to cut all their vegetables and stuff. But the main reason why a kosher kitchen has a parva knife is for the onions, for the sharp items, because of this halacha.
What does it mean, sharp, that onion is sharp?
We say that it has a sharp flavor. It has